We're at the beginning of a new sugya, new in the sense of starting a couple new lines in the Gemara, but of course many of the principles that we've spoken about, we're going to speak about, things we have spoken about a little bit in the past as well. But it starts in the bottom of Lamed Aleph, where after all the dust settles, we are well aware of the fact that one cannot use stolen goods for Dalaminim for two different reasons. One is that it's lacking Lachem, or Kachta Lachem B'Yabarishan, has to belong to you. And number two, there's always the concern of Mitzvah Babi Aveira. So comes the Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Aleph, on to the bottom. Omalu Rav Huna Bahanau Avankari. Rav Huna said to these Avankari, the honest truth, I have no idea whether I'm pronouncing that word properly, but I'm not sure if anyone knows what the correct pronunciation is, no matter what it says in all the different Gemaras. But Avankari, we know who they were, these people. They were people who, Rashi says, they were Tagari Kodavali Stakabo and Kenem Ktanim. They were basically merchants. In this case, they were Esrog merchants, or Lulav merchants, or more accurately, they were the Hadassah merchants. So the problem with the Hadassah merchants was as follows. Rav Huna said to them, Kizav Nisu Asa Meyakum, it was the Goyim who were providing the Hadassim from the trees that were growing in their land. The only problem is that the trees that were growing in the Goyim's land probably wasn't the Goyim's land because they probably stole the land from somebody previously. So now we're in a pickle, because apparently the only source of Hadassim was from these Goyish lands, and the Goyish lands themselves were a concern of stolen goods, which basically means everything on the land was stolen. So bottom line is, when I'm going to buy these Hadassim, I won't be able to be Yotzei my mitzvah, because it's not Lachem, it's Mitzvah Bavi Aveira. So Rav Huna had to come up with some kind of a way to enable, and again, we're not addressing the injustice and the wrong of the stolen lands, it's by out of the realm of Rav Huna's authority to deal with. But Rav Huna was more concerned with his Baal Batim, that his people wanted to be Yotzei Dalaminim. So how are we going to be Yotzei Dalaminim with these stolen goods? So Rav Huna came up with the following idea. He said to them that when they buy the Hadassim from the Goyim, L'tigzuzu asom, you merchants, talk to the Jewish merchants, you don't be the ones to do the actual cutting. Why is that? El'gzuzu inu, let the Goyim cut the Hadassim off the trees. What in the world do you gain by that? Why is there any less stolen goods? For the following reason. Let them do the cutting. V'yavu l'chu. And then, after the Hadassim are already cut off, they should give it to you. Now, we already started to get the wheels turning. What are we trying to accomplish? We're trying to come up with some kind of a kunz that we should have in a sense, yes, it's stolen goods, but we're going to be kona the stolen goods. And by being kona the stolen goods, we're for sure going to overcome the lachem problem. And based on some of the things we spoke about last week, we may even overcome the mitzvah of a problem. That was the goal of Rav Huna. So Rav Huna said that we have to figure out, we have to identify what kinyan are we going to do. What kinyan gezeila are we going to do? So Rav Huna says, what we're going to try to do is the following stunt. We can combine two factors. One is going to be yush, and one is going to be shini rishus. And we're not even up to this point yet, but we're going to hopefully talk about this in weeks to come. What kind of magic kinyan is this? But apparently a combination of those two factors creates a kinyan. And if Reuben steals something from Shimon, in this case if the Goy steals something from Shimon, and Yush occurred, and Shinu Rishus occurred. So the original owner lost hope, as well as it has now been transferred to somebody else. So hocus pocus, those two things combined together to create a kinyan. Again, why that works, the parameter of that, that's already a sugya of itself. But for our purposes, just take on the face from the Gemara. If we can pull off the stunt of Yush and Shinu Rishus, we're good to go. But here is when it gets complicated, because we have to be very, very careful, and we'll see later on why this is so critical. Yush has to precede the Shini Rishus. When exactly is Yush going to happen? So the Gemara is about to tell us that I can tell you when Yush is not going to happen. That's going to be an absolute, not negotiable. We'll find out four different reasons in Rishon why it's not negotiable, but exactly, that's not negotiable. Yush is not going to help us. So therefore, what we want to happen is, we have to make sure we get Yush in before we get Shini Rishus, which basically means that the Shini Rishus is going to be accomplished when the Goy gives it to the Avankar, gives it to the merchant. That's the Shini Rishus that we're focusing on. But that has to happen after the Yush. And since Yush can't happen in the Mechubar, what has to happen is the following sequence. And the sequence of the timeline is critical. That first, it has to be detached from the ground. Not by the Jew, by the Goy. Let the Goy do the cutting. Once the Goy does the cutting, then it's no longer mechubar l'karka, then Yush can kick in. After that happens, then we'll let the Goy sell it to the Jewish merchant. That will be the Shini Rishus, and you're good to go. So that was what Rav Huna's instruction was. Let's take a look again inside. You Jews don't do the cutting. Elalikzu inu, let the goyim do the cutting. V'yavi l'chu, they'll give it to you. My time, oh, why? Stam of the gichavim, gazloni aris inu. The starting point is that it's probably stolen land. That's number one. And now the Gemara has on the top of Amram and Beis three very, very cryptic words. V'karka eina nizelas. And karka is not subject to gezela. Now, we have no idea yet why the Gemara used those words. What the Gemara is trying to describe is that there's no yush for karka. Now, that may be because karka is else. That may be true, may not be true. But the thrust of the sugi, the punchline of Ravuna, where Ravuna is trying to overcome, is trying to overcome the following obstacle, that we can't rely on the yush, kol's man, that the hadas is b'chub l'karka, because ain't yush l'karka. So for some strange reason, Rav Huna formulated it by saying karka ain't exelus. Again, we'll see why that's important. But Pashas Rav Huna really was saying is that there's no yush for karka. Hilkach, therefore, ligzazu inu, let the goyim do the cutting, ki heichi de level yush b'ayelam b'yadayu ditu, let the yush take place, kol zman, it's still in the goy's hands, while it's already tolish, it's already detached from the ground. V'shinei rishus b'yadayichu. And then the Shinui Rishus will take place once it's transferred from the Goy to the Avad Kari. So everything's great. So the Gemara questions Rav Huna, why did he drive everybody crazy? What's he driving that the Jew has to make sure the Goy cuts? So, yes, the Gemara, let the Jew do the cutting. Kigazu Avad Kari, levi yush b'ayelim b'yadayu, v'shinui Rishus b'yadon. Said, who was Rav Huna worried about? He was worried about his Balabatim. So his Balabatim are buying the Hadassim from the Avad Karis. So that's the Shinui Rishus. So let the Jewish Avankari do the cutting. What's the difference? As long as the Hadassim are cut before they were transferred somewhere, it might not give me to which Shinui Rishus there was. We can suffice ourselves with the Shinui Rishus from the middleman to the Jewish customer, and that's perfectly okay. So why Rav Huna drive everybody crazy? So Gemara says, Sof Kigazu Avankari Levi Yush Balam Biyadayu, let the Yush take place in the Rishus of the Avankari. V'shini Rishus b'yadon, and the Shini Rishus will be with the Avankri gives it to us. The Gemara says, you're right. Lo tzricha b'oshana b'Avankri gufayhu. The Gemara says, if we're only worried about his balabatim, so then it will be perfectly okay if the Avankri does the cutting. But Rav Huna wanted to help out the Avankri. They were Jewish. They also wanted to have Hadassim. So whatever Hadassim they didn't sell, they saved for themselves. So that's what Rav Huna said. You guys have to be very careful. If you're going to cut the Hadassim yourselves, then you're going to have the Shini Rishus taking place before there was Yush, and that's a no-no. So make sure that the Yush was Chal first, and therefore make sure the Goyim do the cutting, not you. So I can't do very good. So the bottom line is that, and again, we have a lot of work on this sugya, as the sugya is going to branch out to many, many other things, but the most pivotal point right now, what's making or breaking the sugya, are the first three words, Kaken and Zelos, which again, probably translates to mean, and Yush for Karka, because that's the punchline, that's the thrust of Rav Huna. So, in order to understand why this should or should not be true, we have to really, really go back a little bit and understand a few basic yesodos, and to appreciate what was the engine that was driving Rav Huna. What is this all about, that there's no yush and karka? First of all, is that really an accurate, true statement? And if Tum Salam is a true statement, why is it true? And even if Tum Salam is true, and we have a reason why it's true, are there any times when maybe there are exceptions to that rule? So we have a lot of work to do, all focusing around the magic words of Ein Yush B'Karka, the magic words that don't appear in the Gemara. But that's what the Gemara sounds like to say. So we're going to start the sugya almost backwards. We're going to start with the most extreme shita in the Rishonim and work our way eventually back to this Gemara. If you just read Sukkot Aflam Rebbeis, you'd walk away with the conclusion that Yush just doesn't touch Karka. Why? I have no idea. But there's no, the institution of Yush, whatever Yush does or doesn't do by Metalkalin, it's garnish, it's meaningless by Karka or Dabar B'chub L'Karka. That's the simple reason you walk away this Gemara. Otherwise, Rav Huna was driving everybody crazy for nothing. So there's no Yush in Karka. So if you take a look at the last Imam Kamas I sent this emergency backup Maram Akum, was the last one that I sent to Tyson Ben Basra, which I probably should have sent first. So comes Tyson Ben Basra. On that Mem Dalet Amid Aleph. And the details of what the Gemara Baba Basra are talking about, and it's hemming and hawing for the last 3 days, should we learn this whole sugya Baba Basra together? Because if you really learn the sugya, we have to sit down and go through this very, you can just see the sides of the Rashbam and the sugya, just to appreciate where the context of the sugya is coming from. I was hemming and hawing, and I decided against it. I was just afraid. That made the road size afraid that if I start to go through the details of the Sugya Baba Basra, by the time we finish it, it'll be 10 o'clock late tonight. But we won't get to what we want to talk about. So those who are interested, those who have a lot of free time in their hands and have a lot of good eyesight to read every Rashbam, to figure out the Amkas and Dvarim, why the Gemara is even talking about this, so I am Baba Basra and Dalai Lama. We're going to extract the part that we want, and that's the Tosis, the top Tosis. We're going to extract part of the Tosis. Tosa says, it's five lines from the bottom of the Tosa. And again, the particulars are relevant to the Sugya Baba Basra. We're going to take the part that we need. The end of the line. Ela milsit shchicha noka. The Gemara in Baba Basra is talking under normal circumstances. Debekarka ein regilin lehisya'esh. It is not normal. It is not expected for a person to be misya'esh from karka kishe Yisrael gozlo. Just because it was stolen from you. You know why? A person normally never gives up hope on karka. Very simple reason. Because he always has in the back of his mind, he'll get it back. After all, the land's not going anywhere. The earth will all know about this. So it's always going to be there. Now, it may be that the guy who just bumped you off the land is 6'10" and you're 5'2", and you're probably not going to get it back from him. But you know what? You never know. Maybe his son will be a little nicer to you. Maybe his grandson will be you always have your eyes on the character. And therefore, Tosfos makes almost like a psychological assessment that it's not so normal to be misyayish. What prompted Tosfos to make this statement? Again, leaving out the details of Abbas and Dalit, are there any sources that led Tosfos to believe that Yush does work on karka? Ignoring Akamar and Sukkah for a minute. Are there any Gemaras? Well, Tosfos make reference to them. We go back to that Tosfos, back one down and after Tosfos. So Tosfos quotes two Gemaras that make it sound a little bit that there is, in theory, a concept of Yush and Karka. And the first one in the line is Mahani. It's the night's back in all the Tosfos. So Tosfos has two rais. They make very, very cryptic references to. You've got the Eved Mashru Vashalech, the Mahani Bayush, Afagav the Isla Shlakarka. Tosfos Dava Gemara in Maseches Gittin, under Flamet Tassim Abayis, where the Gemara talks about the possibility of being Misyayish from Eved Kenani. Particularly, the Sugya talking about, the Eved Kenani ran away, and I don't think I'm ever going to find him again, and I'm Misyayish from him. So the Gemara is a long, long, long Sugya, therefore what? And what happens based on that Yush? But Tosfos says, wait a second, how come nobody stopped and said there's no Yush in Avadim? Now, what does that have to do with? We're learning karka. You're talking avadim. But we all know there's an age-old principle called avadim hukshel karkos. All the dinim of karka carry over to an eved kenani. So Tosfos says, if the Gemara in Gittin Aflamites is assuming that there is yush in the sugya of avadim, so by extension, it must be certain that there's yush in the sugyas of karka. So Tosfos says that Gemara proves that there's no absolute rule in yush le karka. It could be that 99% of the time there's not going to be, but it's not absolute. There's no absolute cloud that Yush, for halachic reasons, doesn't apply to karka. All that we can extract from Baba Basra and Dalet is that mistama, most probably, it's mostly the shchicha nokat, people generally tend not to be misyayish. But if we know for a fact, the guy says, hinni muchavu misyayish, so the Yush will be effective. And the proof of Tosfos was the sugya maseches gittin. Then Tosfos.
Why can't you say that hekesh would break down
here? Oh, okay. You're already in Rabbi Yoni territory. Right. Tosfos took the Gemara by Avadim and said, well, everybody knows Avadim, like a kos, or mamasha, maybe tied to one another. If there's yush by Avadim, we can go back and say there must be yush by karka. And if any, the best we can do is say that milsa d'shchicha. But more than that, we can't. Then Tosfos quotes another reference. Then Tosfos says, uvishmeisin d'sikrikon, Omeri de Muhach Nami came. In the sugya of Sikrakon, it would also appear this way. Ooh, wow, wait, who's a Sikra? What's a Sikrakon? So let's take a look at the Gemaras. I think I told to bring the Gemara Gittin. I brought the Gemaras again. Okay. So let's take a look at the Gemara Gittin. Let's take a quick look at the two Gemaras that Tosfos quote. Let's take a look quickly back at the Eved Sugi just first for a moment. It's a Gemara in Gittin on the Aflamet Tesamet Beis. Just a little bit before that. We can actually go back a little bit to Aflamet Zayin Beis, makes it even easier. Starts with the Mishnah, a very complicated Mishnah. The Mishnah on the Zion of Beis and Gittin talks about an Eved Shenishpa. An Eved was taken as a captive, Upaduhu, and then he was redeemed. And we're trying to figure out, does he now go back to the first owner? Does he go back to this person who redeemed him? Oh, Chagaj, about the Eved Shenishpa. So the first part of the Gemara wants to know, what's the case? B'mayaski, Ilei Melifnei Yush. Are we talking about Lifnei Yush or are we talking about Liacha Yush? And the Gemara goes on to a whole elaborate discussion what the case of the Mishnah is. So it starts to stop. What do you see from this Gemara? That Yush works for Avadim. The bottom line is the Gemara is talking about the possibility of Yush working. So again, this was Tosfos' first proof. If it's clear in Gittin Daf Lamed Zayin that Yush works for Avadim, that's an absolute proof that it must work for Karka. Because everybody knows Karka and Avadim are the same, and Tosfos is not even addressing any possible chiluk between the two. So therefore, there must be a possibility of Yush on Karka. There is no halachic reason there's no Yush in Karka. That was Tosfos' first try. What's the sug of Sikrikon? So if you go on, Tosfos tells you to look in Gittin Daf Nun Chesam Abeis now. Sikrikon was a whole historic / halachic phenomenon that existed around the time of the Churban. But basically, the Romans were trying to steal all the Jewish land. Nun Chesam Abeis in Gittin. So the Goyim, the Romans, were trying to steal all the Jewish land. So they would come to the person and say, listen, if you don't give me a land, I'm going to kill you. So the Jew gives the land. So the question is that called Gezela? Is that called Mechira? So sometimes the Romans would be nice. They would actually give you some money for the land. Not necessarily the best price, but give you some money for the land. So that's a whole complicated sugi about Talyuv Zubin. If somebody forces you to sell the land and they give you some money for it, do we say that push comes to shove, I agree to the sale because my life is more important than my land. So maybe I did agree to the sale. Okay, we're not advocating that kind of activity. But the whole complicated sugya, when we say the kinyan is chal, the kinyan is not chal. So in the middle of that whole sugya of sikrikon, comes the Gemara and Nun Chesam and Beis has the following statement. Comes the Gemara and says, it's the first word line is Shetisha. It's actually Shetisha a few times. It's about almost a halfway down the page. Shetisha Yud Beis Chodesh. Amar of Yosef. Let's see what it is. It's just about halfway down, a little bit less than halfway down. Amar of Yosef, Nachtiman, we have the following statement. Ein Anparos Mebogel. Anparos referred to people who mamash would just bump people off land. Mamash, a guy would come with a shotgun and say, get off this land, I'll give you a few dollars for it and get lost. So Rav Yosef said, Anparos doesn't exist in Bavel. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? That means to say that no one's doing this in Bavel? There are bandits, there are Shoyim, there are Ganovim in Bavel also. So what did Rav Yosef mean? He meant this foul Zala Ema, Ein Din Anparos for Bavel. The halachas of Anparos don't apply. What does that mean? It means if I come to you and I say, hey, where'd you get that land from? That land was my land, and some guy stole it from me, and what are you doing? That's not a taina. That taina doesn't hold up in Beis Din. Even though Beis Din knows that I used to own this land, for me to claim that a guy stole the land 20 years later and say that, by the way, it was really my land all along, Rav Yosef says that's not acceptable in Bavel, such a claim. Why? My taima. Kevet Ika Begdavar Pelo Ozu Kabil Emachuli Achil. Rav Yosef said, Baruch Hashem in Bavel, we have courts. We have a normal system set up. This is not a wild, wild west. This is not the Roman occupation of Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Churban. There's a law system, the Persian law system. And people have the right. If you have a claim, go to court. Take that out of court. You can't come 20 years later and say that the person bought this field from someone who stole my field 20 years ago. If it was really true, you should have gone to the court. And therefore, what do we assume? Achule achul gabei. What does that word mean? Achule achul. He was Michael the land. What do you think that means? He was Michael the land.
Yeah,
he was Yahish from the land. So it says, you see from the Gemara, this is Yush and Karka.
Who are we talking about? Bubble? Is there bubble or is there all issues going on?
No, the Gemara just talked, just because the whole Sipikon sugya is war in Eretz Israel. So it's not, nothing to do with Jewish ownership. It was just because the politics in Eretz Israel was, you had the Romans. Were.
Why does the Chol HaChole have to be Jewish and not to be Mochel, the transaction that it was?
Oh, you're ready, Mechavit, to the it's okay. Hang in there, you're ready? We can talk to the Raya. So again, Tosfos was very, very cryptic over Basim and Nalam and Aleph. They have merely two rayas that there's a concept of Yush Bakarka. One is they prove from Gittel Lamed Zayin that there's Yush by Avodah, which is tantamount to saying Yush by Karka. And number two, they prove from the Gemara Gittin itself that there's Yush by Karka Mamish. So they two rayas, we're good to go, Sistosis. Any and every Gemara that sounds not that way, that there's no Yush by Karka, doesn't really mean it. What must it mean? It just means that it's unlikely a person was Mashiach. What if you know he was Mashiach? Then Yush will be Chal.
But Tosfos is building on two assumptions that each assumption has a weak element.
You're right. We're going to disagree. Right? Tosfos is telling you, we read Gittin Lamed Zayin, we read Gittin Nechas, and we think both of these Gemara say the same thing. And Henry's 100% right. Other Rishonim are going to say neither Gemara says anything that Tosfos dreamt that it said.
Is there any concept of Hazaka on the Karka for a person who took it, and therefore there is no Tana of Yush later?
Okay, so that's going to get a little tricky. We're going to come back to this raya as to whether Tosa's analysis is even correct in the first place. We have a little bit more work to do on this sugi. It's going to come back to us in a few minutes, so we may get a little more clarity on that. Okay? So again, so we have Tosa Baba Basra is absolutely convinced Yush is effective in Tidim Mominus on Karka. No reason to disqualify it. Any and every Gemara that sounds otherwise doesn't really mean it. Just means it's Mistama. Well, let's think of what Gemaras do we have that talk about no Yush on Karka. Agamar, we're on Sukkah. So what did Tosfos just tell you? Tosfos in Bavasa doesn't even quote Agamar. But it is clear by default how Tosfos read Agamar. But the Bali Tosfos in Bavasa read Agamar, and the Gemara says, there's no Yush and Karka. That's not what it meant. It meant it's unlikely there's Yush and Karka. And therefore Rav Huna was trying to protect the Balabatim for normal circumstances, as you have to assume that there's no Yush and Karka, because it's unlikely. But Lu Yitzir there was that it would have to be effective. And Rav Huna's whole trip wouldn't be necessary. So Tosfos just took a Gemara that sounded like was saying absolute halachic statements. That's not true. There is no such statement. Yush can, in fact, be effective in theory if it was really expressed properly. Ad kan divir tez b'vasa. Tosfos is the most extreme view. Most of the other Rishonim assume that when the Gemara says karka and exelus, which probably translates to mean there's no yush and karka, the Gemara really meant what it said, that Yush will not take effect on Karka. So one of the Rishonim who actually says this is Rabbeinu Yonah. I sent it on the Mamakomos. The Aliyas Rabbeinu Yonah, the Pesh Rabbeinu Yonah, Baba Basra. I sent two pages of the Mamakomos. Sorry for confusing you with the two pages. The first page was just the last two words on the Guzzle Karka, it's the last two words on the page, but I couldn't start in the middle of the sentence. So it's really the second page that matters. So the last, Bamish, the very bottom of page, Reshit Aleph in the Rabbeinu Yonah. Guzzle Karka, V'nisyai Shu Habaylem, U'machra Hagazlon. So what did the Rabbeinu Yonah just set up for us? He just set up Yush, potentially, and what? And Shinu Rishus. He's got it all going. Lo Kana Lekech, says Rabbeinu Yonah, forget about it. It's not going to work. Why not? Listen to Rabbeinu Yonah formulate it. She'ein odom misyayish b'liboy min hakarka. What did Rabbeinu Yonah just say? The person is not being misyayish. Af al pi, says Rabbeinu Yonah, she'oimer b'piv she'misyayish. Even though he's saying it, misyayish, what are we saying to him? It's not true. It's not. We can assess that he's not. He's just throwing his hands up and saying, oh, yeah, yeah, what a terrible thing, they never had lost my land, I'm never going to get. That's not Yush. Yush has to be B'lev Sholem, even though, this is a very, very strange idea, this is almost flies in the face of Zvam Shebelev Yedem Tvarim, that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying. Because we have assessed his mindset, that there's no way any person would ever be Mishayash from Karka, it's impossible. Who did not say it's impossible? Tanya Basra says it's unlikely. There's a big jump, very, very far cry between unlikely and impossible. Tanya says no slashchicha. Rabbeinu Yonah says it's not happening. It is just not happening. Af al pi she'ayim b'fiv she'nisyayish. And why? So now Rabbeinu Yonah falls back on the same psychology as Tanya. Shari mitzapa shuva bonav yotzir kachbi b'din yana negazlan. Because the guy knows in the back of his mind, he knows where the karka is. The karka's not going anywhere. So this generation, next generation, third generation, sometime we'll get the karka. The ain't a karka doma le metalflin, shiyesh bem yush. Karka's not the same as metalflin. Why? Because yochel mochel avrichon. By metalflin, he'll just take the animal to another state, to drive the car to another place. We'll know the mekayim ayin. We're never going to know where it is. So by metalflin, there's yush b'lev shalim. By karka, there's no yush b'lev shalim. So, if I'd ask you, is Rabbi Yonah the same as Tosas? No. If I'd ask you, is Rabbi Yonah similar to Tosas? I'd say yes. Because they're both working with psychology. There is no halacha playing out. Neither according to Tosas nor according to Rabbi Yonah is there a halacha that's inhibiting Yush from applying to karka. Tosas is saying unlikely, and Rabbi Yonah is saying it's so unlikely, even if we hear about it, we ignore it. Because it's just not really true. It's not B'lev Sholem. So they're both focusing on psychological realities, but whereas Tosfos took it only to a certain degree, Rabbi Yonah went the extra step.
So Rabbi Yonah is opening up the chiluk between kark and avad.
Oh, very good, excellent. Oh, very good, excellent, excellent. Very good. Oh. So obviously now, Rabbi Yonah has two gemaras to explain. Because Vishlam, according to Tosfos, who said that it's possible, just unlikely, but if you hear it, then it's Tosfos, then it's Chal. Rabbi Yonah is saying, we ignore what you're saying. But Lamaisa, the Gemara talks about Yush in two places. The Gemara talks about Yush by Avadim and Yush by in the case of Sikur Gemara, in the case of Karka. So what do you do with that? So Rabbi Yonah tackles. He takes on the issue. Comes to Rabbi Yonah and says, Afal pisha amu sheha Avadim k'mokar korsein u'kamo she'ena karka n'gzel as kachin Avadim n'gzel, and that's what din should be. V'ena gazan chayv yachav yusan. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, hopefully. Aval le'inyan Yush Ha'avadim ki betatlan hein. Sharei yochel ha'avrichon. What did Rabbi Yonah say? Exactly what Dr. Fisher said. That avadim alai karka, absolutely 100%, except for when they're not. And this is the case when they're not. Vis-a-vis the sugi of Yush, which is not halach in nature, it's psychological in nature. The psychology that's preventing Yush from being chal and karka, that psychology breaks down by avadim. Because by avadim, it could be mavriach. And therefore, the fika gozel evev v'nisyai shenigzav menu machar gazin kama kech v'yishin rishus. There is yishin rishus by avadim, because for these purposes, avadim are not like karka. So Baruch Hashem, a tremendous across the Torah to Ben Yonah, he refuted one of Tosfos' rayas. Of course, he didn't refute the other one. He doesn't even address the other one. What do you do with the Gemara in Gittin? You want to get in the Sugin secret code. The Gemara is the Farish. That the reason why the dinim of being having a time to be able to say that, hey, the guy stole my land, that we tell you, go jump in a lake, because we're assuming you were a chuli ochel gabei, so isn't that saying that there is yush and karka? That was Tarzis Raya.
You could easily say, no, it just exactly just mean mochel on it. Oh! He knows that it's still there.
Okay. So obviously, I already planted the seed by saying it with such an emphasis on it. So he picked up on my lead. It's a very nice Gemara, but says getting a beautiful Gemara, but says Gittin. But it has l'chor and nothing else to do with that. Proof positive, the Gemara does not say what magic word. That's what's in the word Yush. This is a chul yachal gabeh. It was Michael. But we have to ask ourselves this, well, what does that mean? What do you mean he was, what did the words mean? You were Michael the Karka. What do those words mean? I was Michael the Karka. How are you meichel karka? I can meichel. You owe me 100 dollars. We meichel chol. We meichel karka. You can be give it as a gift. You can sell it. You can be machdish. You can be mafkri. You can be shayish from it. There is no such concept of being meichel karka. So what in the world does that gemara mean? If it doesn't mean yush, so let's just review for a sec what the case was. The case was, I'm yelling and screaming that 20 years ago I'm claiming a guy came and beat me up and threatened me with a shotgun and told me if you don't get off this land in 2 minutes, he has $100 and get lost. I'm claiming that's what happened 20 years ago. And Rav Yosef says, we laugh at the guy and say, who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? There's a lawyer. We got a legal system here. So what did we think that meant? What did Tosfos think that Gemara meant? Did that story happen? According to Tosfos, it is what? It is very possible the story happened. And it's very possible that 20 years ago, that land was stolen from him. But what has happened in the interim, says Tosfos? He must have been misyayish from it. Why? Because if he wasn't, why did he come to court? So he's not coming to court. Because there's nothing stopping him from getting a lawyer and coming to court. The fact that he did it, Zechariah Brewer, there is misyayish.
When to go to court? In the beginning when it happened?
Oh, wait. Hold on. Wait a second. That's going to become critical. Hold on. So again, so Tosfos obviously learned pshat and Rav Yosef saying that we believe you. You're a nice, honest guy. We believe that's what happened. We believe that somebody beat you up and stole your land, and you never wanted to give it to him, and it was not into, and it was mamash not believe shalom. They stole it from you, but the mechilas kveitcha, you should have done something about it in the last 20 years, and you're not doing something when you could have, because there are court system. It's easy to go to court, and you didn't. That's a yush. Something they see from here that yush works in karka. Is there another way to read that gemara? So comes the Ktzos and discovered a Rashba in Maseches Gittin. But the Rashba offers a whole different beer in the Gemara. Like I'm a different beer. But the Gemara is saying is as follows. Any and every time we have these scenarios where somebody beats somebody else, gives them money or something, and we're trying to figure out, was the Mechira Chal or not? So the Gemara says that in the days of the Churban, when every Jew was mamash afraid of his life, He was telling you of his other, he was more than happy to sell the land. Leave me alone and take my land. I'll be happy to save my life. Sometimes getting beaten up and getting money thrown at you is indicative of the fact that you really were gomer b'daitcha to sell. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's not. How do you know? It's hard to call. It's hard to make that call. We don't know if Ruch HaKadosh. So we have to look at context. That's what the whole sugya of Sikkur is all about. Sometimes the Gemara says it changed, different times in history. In the early years, so the Romans used to be mamish, they were crazy, they were shagoyim, and they would steal the land from the Jews right and left, and whoever would put up a fight with them, they would kill them on the spot. The Gemara says in those days, the mechir was chal, because it was nimnu v'gar, every person was more than happy to give up his land. In the later years, the Gemara says, the Romans were a little bit more civilized, and if somebody would do that, sometimes they would get thrown to jail for actually doing that. So now the Jew is not as nervous. Now the Jew is not as afraid. The Jew is not so willing to give up his land. So just because the guy beat him up and he said, okay, I'm giving up, lav dafka that he really meant to give it up. So the Gemara says, case by case, time by time, the psak changes. The Gemara says, to be fair, it changes according to the historical circumstances. The ultimate question is, did the guy have in mind to really truly sell it out? That's the question at hand. If he did, then the mechir was valid. If he didn't, the mechir was not valid.
The argument seems counterintuitive, because if it was by force and he had no choice, so it goes back to where we read that he says, oh, if not me, my children, my grandchildren, they're going to come back and make that claim. So if he had no choice, because everybody's being killed, so the machshava would be, you know what, I'm giving it up, but it really is mine.
But if that's the key, if I'm giving it up, that means I'm willing to do this mechira. I'm willing to take the $100 and run for my life. If I'm willing to do that, so then the mechira is valid. So, comes the Rashba, comes the Ktos, says as follows. We live in Bavel. Things are calm, things relax, there's a court system in place. And a guy comes and says that 20 years ago, I was beaten up, and I never was going to be daiti to sell it. I never really, really wanted to sell it. I really, really was coerced. I never meant to sell it. We're listening to the guy, and we're asking ourselves, is he telling the truth or not? Do we have any way of knowing? So you know what Rabbi Yosef said? What did Rabbi Yosef say? If he really is telling the truth,
taking it to court.
He should have gone to court in the last 20 years. It's a riot for the fact that he didn't go to court, that's a riot of what happened 20 years ago. He really sold it. B'lev Shalom. That's nothing to do with Yush. According to Tosfos Baba Basra, The goal of his not going to court, we're trying to prove from his not going to court that even though Hitaka never sold it 20 years ago, it was never believed shown 20 years ago, but he has subsequently been Moichel. And that would lead us to believe that subsequently been Messiah is the correct word, according to Tosis. That would be a riot that there is Yushankar. But according to Rabbeinu Yoina, that's something the Gemara said b'chol. All the Gemara meant to say is that his not going to court leads us to go back in history and reassess what really happened and gives us an inkling of Ruach HaKodesh, what happened 20 years ago. The guy's a liar. He sold the B'lev Shalom 20 years ago. If not, he would have gone to court 20 years ago. So if that's the pshat in the Gemara, says the Ketzayis, then the Gemara has no bearing on this topic. So Baruch Hashem, we have Machlekes Rishonim, we dug up a Tyson Bibi Basra, dug up a Bibi Yenim Bibi Basra, we have Machlekes Rishonim. Does Yush exist on Karka or not? According to Tyson, unlikely but possible. According to Rabbi Yehuda, impossible. And the reason why impossible is not halachically per se, but it's psychologically. Now, that Machlekes Tyson and Rabbi Yehuda will, of course, impact the Masechet Sukkah. But the Gemara says that, hey, make sure that you cut those hadasim at the right place, the right time, because don't rely on the Yush on the Karka. What does that mean? Koita tells us it meant because it probably didn't happen, but maybe it did, but probably didn't. According to Ben Yonah, not probably didn't happen, it didn't happen, because it couldn't have happened. Because even if you have a recording of the guy saying, Ich bin Messiah, doesn't mean anything. Yush Karka is a meaningless statement, because if Belev Shalom, the person was down Messiah from Karka. So the Machloikis, Taizim of Basra, tucked away in the third Pech of Basra, impossible, a possible, unlikely, will impact how to read this Gemara. But Rabbi Yisai, although Rabbi Yonah and Taizim are slightly different from one another, there is a common denominator between the two of them. They are both focusing on something to do with psychology. Even according to Rabbi Yonah, worst case theory, what is preventing Yush and Karka is our psychological assessment that he probably didn't mean to do it. The boy said, now let's go back to Masechet Sukkah. That was the background, the introduction to the Shiur of today. Rav Huda chose to describe to us this phenomenon of lack of Yush, and he used three very, very strange words. Karka eina nigzelis. Karka's not stolen. What he should have really said is that there's no Yush, either unlikely or impossible, but he does say karka eina nigzelis. So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi on the spot. And Rashi, by saying the first word, we already know we're in trouble. It's always a dead giveaway in Rashi. What's that word?
Klomar.
You know what Rashi means when he says Klomar? Klomar means Kamolomar. Namely, what we said isn't really what we meant. That's exactly what the Klomar means. If you see a Klomar in Rashi, you know that Rashi already has what to say. That what the Gemara sounds like is not really what it means to say. Because the Gemara doesn't really mean to say Karka and Zelos. What the Gemara really means to say is, there's no Yish and Karka. So Rashi continues, Klomar. Eina kinuya legazlon bishum Yush. What the Gemara really means to say is that Yush doesn't work. Yush doesn't work on Karka. Why is that? The la'olam becheskas ve'alehi, because the karka remains in the reshus of the bailim. The mikroi nafkalon ve'agodel basra, because we derive from psukim a principle called karka eina nigzelis. Our purpose is ad kan divrei Rashi. I can tell you one thing that Rashi did not say b'shum panim ve'oifen is tos the basra. According to us, Rabbi Basra, Yush and Karka is negotiable. What did Rashi just pin it on? He just called you a pasuk. I don't know what the pasuk is, I don't know what it says in Rabbi Basra Gizayim, but this is not, Rashi is not learning psychology. Who else is Rashi clearly not following? Ben Yonah. Ben Yonah's talking psychology, Rashi is quoting pasukim. So what is this pasuk? What's this fair pasuk? So Rashi is referencing a sugim of Kam Kuv Gizayim Rebeis, a very, very, very short Mishnah. The Mishnah of Bavakama quotes the following shayla. I steal land from you. Come, shotgun, I say, get off this land right now. Get lost. And the guy goes running for his life. And then, the next morning, a flood comes and destroys the entire land. Shafanar. Basin catches up with me. Say, now what? What does Basin say? The land is ruined. Land used to be worth $1 million, now it's worth 25 cents. Land's completely ruined. What happens? If I would have stole the talent of you, what would we have said? Kol ha-gazlanim mishalmin. Right? Shasik Zela. Comes, the Mishnah says, listen to this one. Shot fanor, oy melal, and we know. Hareshach ofanacha. It's your land. Your loss, not my loss. It's your land. Why? The Gemara derives from Sukkim. You know why? Because Karka eina nigzelis. What does that mean? When I steal something, I get what's called a kinyan gezeil. Doesn't mean it's mine to keep. That's what she, yet she in the yeshiva. That's it. But I get a kinyan gezeil, which means I have a chrayus on it. I have responsibility on it. Heishrus like gezeilah. Once I become halakhically a gazlan on the talthulin, one of the dinim that now kicks in is an absolute chiyav achrayas. I'm a chuyav and a shav. I have to make sure to make good. It goes down price, it's my loss. Comes the Torah and says that the parsha of gezeilah doesn't apply. You can't still conquer. It's not toifes. I didn't say it's mutter to do it. We assume, most of the Shem assume there's an issagom with the rice and still conquer. It's called losigom, but a gazlan you're not. You don't have any kinyan gzeilon, and therefore you could say with a straight face of Rech Cholofanach. And it happens to be that all Tanaim agree to that even. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees, or Eliezer dashes the psuk a little bit different in Kabbalah, and says, no, karka isn't gzeilus. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to pay even for the karka, kishas gzeil. So that's the sukkah that Rashi references. Rashi says, you want to understand sukkah deflam and beis, you have to look at it through the eyes of Babakama kadafka fudayim. So just as the Gemara says, karka isn't gzeilus, but we paskin. So too, if you stole karka, there's no yush on karka, and therefore, Avuda makes a lot of sense. What is Rashi clearly implying? That if you would have held karka isn't exelus like Rabbi Eliezer, then this whole suit would break down. Then if this karka isn't exelus, then yush doesn't apply to karka. Rabbi say Rashi is saying so radically different from Tosfos, it's not even the ballpark of the Baal Yatos and Baba Basra, and quite frankly, it's not even the ballpark of Ben Yonah. Rashi, by quoting this Gemara, the Mikroi Nafka Be'agoyzel Basra, by referencing the Machlokes of Elazar and Rabbanan, by connecting it to Karka, yes, Exelus, Nishkin Exelus, Rashi is committing himself to a halachic impediment. The halachic impediment is because Karka and Exelus, therefore there's no Yishin Karka. So yes, Rabbi said, now the multi-million dollar question according to Rashi. What is the connection between those two statements? Why does Karka and Exelus translate to mean there's no Yishin Karka? Karka and Nigzelus means that when I steal something, if the item is Nigzel, so then the parasha of Yishayishim Nigzela kicks in, and I have a Chiv Achrayas, and Kol Mashal, or Gezlo Mashal Mashal Nigzela, all of the above applies. If something's not Nigzel, then none of the above applies.
What would I have Yush if it's Bershuti?
Oh, you said a loaded load, so you mechavet in Nisivas. Hang in for a second. Okay, I couldn't have planned to do better time. Let's just formulate the question first. Before you have to understand the question, we get the solution. Rashi, by connecting the dots of our sugya of no yush and karka to the machlekes hatanoim with psukim, Rashi basically just told us that if something is not nigzel, then there's no yush on it. Why not? So halachically, it wasn't nigzel. So what? But it was yush. If Yush is a kinyan, remember, Yush either derived from Aveda, Yush with Shinu, whatever you think Yush, whatever Yush does, why is Yush's ability to function in Halacha dependent upon whether the item is Nigzal or not? Why can't Yush exist on its own merits, even without a Halachic Gezeila?
On a very simplistic level, if you say that Karka is not Nigzalus because it never moves, so isn't that the reason why I'll never give up hope?
No, Rashi didn't say that. Rashi says that it doesn't move according to Rabbi Eliezer either. And yet according to Rabbi Eliezer, Karka isn't exelous without moving, and therefore Yush will apply. So psychologically, it's the same whether you look at Rabbi Eliezer or the Rabbanan. So you're back in the world, you're still, because you were holding my Rabbanan here in the Isis before. But according to Rashi, this is halacha, this is not psychology. And therefore, in the world of halacha, why is that ironclad link between the Adover being chal on the din gezeila vis-a-vis Hashava, vis-a-vis Kalmut Gazla Mishalman, vis-a-vis Achrayas? Why is that the kiveya whether you should be chal on that? That's the question.
How can you be tziyanish on something that is still in your possession?
Oh, okay. So now we're talking the same language. Now we're going to talk the same language. So Rabbi Yisrael comes in a sivus to the rescue. Who remembers? Who could figure out, basically, we spoke about what the Nesivus is about to quote? Which Rishon is he about to quote?
The Rambam.
He's going to quote the Muhammad. Let's backtrack for a few weeks ago. The Muhammad had a famous Yisai. Muhammad said, how come the din is, if I lose something, and I wasn't Mishayish yet, and you pick it up, planning on you're going to return it to me, Hashem Saveda, and then I give up hope? So the Gemara said, the famous Shalom Mitzias, the Yish doesn't work. Why not? We have no idea why not. Comes the Rabban and says, you know why not? Because Yushua, Bishuso doesn't work. This is my Gemara. I'm looking at standing where it's sitting in my house. A b'siayish from it. That's a meaningless statement, says everybody. You can only be b'siayish in something that's chutz l'shuscha. If something is b'shuscha, it's not nitan yush, it's not tayv, it's not nimchal. On the dover that's b'shuscha. Zok, then you see this. That's the key to understanding the Rashi and our sugya. If you hold that karka is nigzol, like Rabbi Eliezer, so then what does it mean when something is nigzol? It's not, it means it's basically it's leaving my rishus for all practical purposes. It's not my rishus anymore. It's shalig and a rishus, but it's out of my rishus. So once gezela is teifes, once the gezela is chal on the metaltolid, or according to Beliezer on the karka, then we can discuss yush. But if you hold like the rabbanon, if you hold like rabbuna karka and gezelas, what that means is it's still the bilims. Give me the absolute proof positive that it's totally completely the bilims. The magic words, the rishus chalafanach. That's what it means. Means I get to suffer the rishus chalafanach. It's still yours. You, the person who suffers the loss, is the person who has the object. It's still mine. Karka learned that from Xerza Kosov is not nita to be miyaitif in the shus of the Bailam, remember Shayna? And therefore, for the Bailam to be misyayishon is tantamount to a yush, a davashim shusha, which isn't going to be taifes. That's what Rav Huna meant. That's what the words, the magic words, karka and exel say. That's the Nesivus' pshat. Rabbi say, let's see if we can take this one step further. Who cannot say this pshat? Whose hands are tied on this one? You remember back a few weeks ago? The Ktzos. The Ktzos cannot say this pshat. You know why? Because you remember back a few weeks ago, there was Machlokes the Ktzos and Nesivus. What did the Ramban mean? The Ramban said that I can't be Misyayish once the Sherma picked it up, because that's like Yush B'Shuso. Frektik Ktzos Akasha, restate, where does it say you can be Misyayish and Yush B'Shuso? It says the Ktzos have a raya that you can. Remember the raya? The Shultz. The guy was born in Shul. And the Ktzos understood. Remember the Mechiris Chametz Bais and the Balagan from 3 years ago? The Ktzos says, who owns the Shul? The members of the Shul own the Shul. How in the world could the Gemara and Elam Tzias say you can be Misyayish for money in the Shul? That's Yush and Adavashim B'Shuso. So Ktzos says, there's no such rule. The Ramban, the Nesivus made it up, there's no such rule. So what did the Ramban mean? Ktzos says, no, the Ramban meant Lagamri, something different. What the Ramban meant was that if that Shomer, Yadu is Kiyotcha, he just became you, you have to get him to be Misyayish, not you. You're not the Ba'al to be Misyayish on it. Not because you can't be Misyayish on Adavashim B'Shuso. The reason why Yush doesn't work when it's in the hands of the Shomer is because he has to express the yush. You're not the Bible anymore. You're not in control anymore. But if I lost something in a shul, so just because it's halachically b'shusi, at the end of the day, I can be sad. There's no other person here. There's no other party here. There's nobody else who's interfering with my yush. The Ktzos basically says there's no such rule called a yush and a dov b'shusi doesn't work. There's no lohayit v'mei olam. The Rabban never meant such a thing. That doesn't bode well for us, do you? Because according to the Ktzos's view of the Ramban is not going to be, it's not going to help me. It's not going to be effective here. So why can't you be Misyayish in something if it's in an exelus? What is pshat in this ironclad equation? Again, according to Tosin Baba Basra, there never was a Gemara. The Gemara never said anything like this, not even a dream of anything like this. The Gemara just said most people unlikely to be Misyayish from Karka. According to Ben Yonah, what the Gemara meant to say is, Apidin, you can't be Misyayish. You know why? Because psychology doesn't let you. And therefore, we don't trust what you're saying, basically. But theoretically, could you? Maybe. According to Rashi, that's clearly not the case. Right? Because according to Rashi linked this to the Suri of the Kroy Nafkalon, so he's not talking the language of Nita Taisus and Vavasa video, you know? So we're trying to guess, so what language is Rashi speaking? So we said, Rashi's saying that if you hold something as Eno Nigzol, like the Rabbanan's version of view of Karka, if it's Eno Nigzol, that stands about to say it's still B'Shuscha. If it's still B'Shuscha, it's Shtet Nesit, she can't be B'Shayish. Because the Ramban, but the Ktzos didn't learn that Pshat in the Ramban. So we're back to, how would the Ktzos read the Sugya through the eyes of Rashi? What did Rashi mean? So the Ktzos itself suggests as follows. What does this mean? That Karka in an exilus. What do those words mean, Karka in an exilus? The original context was vis-a-vis the sugi of Kufi Yudzayin and Abukama. Did it enter into the Rishus of the Gazlan to become Chayv and Achrayus on it? That was the original context. But that sugi of Kaka and Exelis is not an achraya sugi per se. You know what it is? What's the nature of this Gersikosov? What's the sense of the Talmud of? Why is Kaka and Exelis? Because the very notion of something transferring from one to another, the mechanism of Gzela, taking objects and taking them out of A and putting them into B, that mechanism breaks down in character. You know why? Because character's not going in there. The only time the Torah recognizes transference of Gzelas, items shifting in their ownership models through the mechanism of Gzela, only if physically something happened. The character, nothing happened. The character is in the same place. You as a gavra were thrown off the kaka, the kaka is right where it was. Says the Ketzos, just as kaka and exelus, to create a transference into the reshus ha-gazlan to be chayv and achrayas, you want yush to be effective? What does yush do? Either by itself or with shin reshus. Yush is a mechanism that the halacha recognizes of transferring ownership, of transferring. Transfers don't happen in karka. Karka doesn't transfer. It doesn't matter whether we're addressing the transferring of into the realm of Achrayus or whether we're addressing the transferring of ownership. It doesn't make the slightest of a difference. Karka doesn't transfer. You know why? Because that's the Xeris HaKos of Karka, anything else. So says the Ketzos B'das Rashi, it's true the original Xeris HaKos of was vis-a-vis Chiyav Achrayus. But the underlying principle is the same vis-a-vis Yush. And what ultimately inhibited Achrayus from kicking in by Karka is the same thing that's inhibiting the kinyan of Yush Vashin Rishus. According to the Sivas, it's not, they're not two different things playing out here. According to the Sivas, it's one issue, namely, whose Rishus is this thing in? So if Karka and Exalus, that means it's a Kanti Bebailam and Rishon Omdim. If it's Rishus Abailam, there's no Yush. According to Ketzos, it's not the Rishus Abailam that creates the no Yush. It's the Yush takes effect, but it can't do anything. It's not, it's according to the Sivas, the Chisan is the Etzema Yush. Yush is not Toifa. Yush doesn't make any sense on Dabash Bashusa. The words Yush just don't register on a Dabash Bashusa. According to the Ketzos, it registers and goes nowhere fast. Because the Torah says that a Yush, it's on the radar screen. It was a beautiful, wonderful, well-executed Yush that has the ability to accomplish nothing. Because Karka just doesn't go anywhere. So it's a different nuance. The Gedalia, Ayelam, Gedalia, Ketzos, and the Sivas are focusing on a different Chisan here. So this is not unlikely of Tosfos. This is not psychologically impossible of Rabbeinu Yonah. This is halachically impossible, but a nuance of difference of what creates the halachic impossibility. It has something to do with Karka and Exelus, but we're not quite sure what it is. According to the Sivas, it's the underlying principle of whose Rishus is it in. It's either in the Gazans or the Nigzals. And if it didn't make it to the Nigzals Rishus, it's still the Gazans. If it didn't make it to the Gazans Rishus, it's still the Nigzals Rishus. If it's a Nigzals Rishus, Rambad kicks in. That was in the Sivas of Yonah. So he says, Lashitasi, but I'm sure money in the shul. That's not going anywhere, that pshat. So he came up with another pshat, that it's not a chisaron in that Yush can't register, it's that Yush can't be effective to be a mechanism to transfer anything in the parasha of Gezela on Karka. That's just what Karka and Exelus means. The Rebbe say, no matter how you slice it, Rashi linked the din of Yush not being effective to Karka and Exelus. And we still have a problem. You know what the problem is? Avod. The Gemara says, Pem Malim said as Gittin, that Yush works in Avod. There is no way out. The Gemara talks, it's a daf long in the Gemara Gittin of Lam Zayin about Yush and Avod. The same sugya that says in Bava Kama Kuf Yud Zayin, the Kaka and Exelus, says that Avod and Exelus neither. If I steal an Evet from you, and then something happens to the Evet, Oy Meloy, Horesh Echol Fanecha. An Evet Kenani is not Nigzal. That's a problem. That's a big problem. According to Tosfos, it wasn't a problem. Fakir Tosfos wrote a Raya from Nakamura, there is Yush and Avadim. According to Rabbi Yonah, it wasn't a problem because psychological inhibition doesn't apply to Avadim. But once Rashi is talking the world of Halacha, Avadim and Kakos are equal to one another. Rabbi said, what's the answer? It's the same answer for the Tosfos and the Sivas. Yenochinami. 100,000,000% avodim are not nigzalim because karka is not nigzal. But guess what? You could still have yush and avodim.
Because it's not lefanech.
Because why?
Because it transfers.
Because it moves. But karka avodim ain't nigzalim. So it's the halach l'bishos of the according to the seed, it's the halach l'bishos. According to Rashi, it doesn't have the ability. Gezeilah doesn't work on it. Kinyan transferring doesn't work. Karka and Gzelas.
Because it can move.
It doesn't make a difference. Avadim are not Gzelas. If Rashi says no Yush, there's no Gezeilah, Avadim are not Gzelas. It's a Gemara, Mavakama, Kalak on life. That is Yushua. The answer is, catch this one. Be in the fake judgment of Innocentus. Yush and Avadim does not work through the parasha of Yush Begazela. It works through what parasha? Think about it for a little bit. Every Gazela is also a what? Every Gazela is an Aveda.
Yeah.
It's Avud Mimeni. Every Gazela is an Aveda.
So
in Eved Kenayni, it's out the Gazela Shaboy, it's not going to work. But out the Aveda Shaboy, it's going to work. The Eved Kenayni is Avud Mimeni. Avud Mimeni. So Parshas Aveda Shaboy will make it into Einu B'Shusi. So according to the Sivus, you're good to go. It's out the Aveda Shaboy that will enable Yush to be Chal. You're good to go according to the Ketzos. So why can't we say that by karka? What's the answer? By say, stolen karka is not avud b'mimeni. You know why? I know exactly where you're avud b'mimeni. It's not aveda, is that? That's not aveda. So a gezela on avodim is nishkin gezela. A braveda it is. And therefore, the teres aveda yish is going to work. And that's where it breaks down by karka. So all the dust settles by say, we have four, but we just learned, again, we just started, barely scratched the surface of Ravuna. But we got Rav Huna's punchline, Karka and Gzelas. Four biurim, what those words mean, Karka and Gzelas. Why did Rav Huna drive the Avankaris nuts? They have to make sure to cut off a head in the hair because Karka and Gzelas is no Yush. According to Taizen Bava Basra, unlikely is Yush. Could be, but unlikely. According to Ben Yonah, impossible because psychologically it's just not happening. According to Rashi, it's halachly not happening. And within Rashi, the breakdown of the Tzaisen Mesibis. Is it not happening because it's Yush and Davashim Beshusai? Or is it not happening because the parish of transferring ownership just breaks down when we're talking about karka? So again, Abarcha Yivchak, four different possibilities as to why karka and exelus, what does that have to do with our sugya? But at the end of the day, because karka and exelus, that forced Rav Huna to come up with this new solution of cutting at the right time, and ultimately falling back on Yush and Shin Rishus. And we're going to lead us up to the next week. Yush and Rishus is going to work. As long as we time it, we get it in the right sequence, we get the right timeline, it's going to work. How does that work? Till I plug, I'm going to see you next week. We'll try to figure out that.
So the thing that you get the name of Gazlan.
Every Gazlan is also an Aveda.
But the fact that you get the first name of Gzela, maybe it would not be the Aveda.
No, but it's both. It's really both. Every Gzela is also an Aveda. It's all the same.
When you.
I look from my
Aveda.
What?
No,
there's no matter. No, there's no matter. Yeah, Tuesday
night.
Yeah, Tuesday night, because there's no call.
When you say...
And get the savory on the day.
When you say...
No, no,
no, no, no. When you say karka, if you don't actually...
So you're going to...